ഉന്മിതം ജയലക്ഷ്മി ശ്രീ ഗുരുവേ നമഃ. So we're very happy to be here celebrating the Vivaha Yajna, the marriage ceremony of Gopika and Vishala Kushalnath. A very auspicious occasion for the whole family and for all the Vaishnavas. And we're witnessing this marriage in front of the fire, the sacred fire, which is a manifestation of Lord Vishnu before the deities of Shishi Gordatai, Shishi Radhagalok Bihari, Lalita Vishaka, and Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. So this marriage, or Vivaha Yajna, is part of the process, or the many processes that one undergoes in one's life, called samskaras. A samskara means basically a reformatory measure, but a reformatory measure to fix one upon the goal of life. Most people in this world, especially the Kali Yuga, do not know the goal of life. Nadhevadhu swarta gatim hi vishnum durashaya yevahirarta manina andar yathandar upaniyamanas te pisha tantram urudamni bhara. This is a verse spoken by Rishabhadev, in which he says, Nadhevadhu swarta gatim hi vishnu, that most people don't know swarta gatim hi vishnu, that the goal is to worship Vishnu, Krishna, and the personal goal is to go back to Krishna, as Krishna in the Gita states, Punarjanma 90, Mamiti Sorjana. The goal is to actually not come back to this world, but to attain eternal blissful life in the spiritual realm. So this samskara, Vivaha Yajna, as is the same with other samskaras, is meant to help one achieve that goal. Of course, the first samskara one has before or after one is born is called the namakarana. And then it ends with the last one, which is called the antyeshti. That means the funeral ceremony. So in each and every one of these samskaras, there is some dedication or promise being made to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His representatives. And the promise indicates that one is focusing his attention on the goal of life. So, as far as the marriage sacrifice is concerned, how can that be utilized, or how can the marriage be utilized to focus one's attention on the goal of life, which is going back to home, back to Godhead? First of all, the couple is vowing to stay together and to cooperate to achieve that goal, to be a spiritual partnership. Partnership means it takes two to cooperate and to agree on this goal. And not only does it help the couple achieve this particular goal, but all the different family members, including the children that proceed from the marriage, will be helped to achieve this goal. And this way, the couple will be helping people achieve eternal blissful life, which is actually what we all want. Nobody likes to die. Nobody likes temporary nature of this world, and nobody likes ignorance. Nobody likes to suffer. So by the process of properly executing this samskara, we can be happy eternally, and even the couple can enjoy eternal love. So many times in Bollywood movies and in other songs, they talk about eternal love. But eternal love can only be had on the spiritual platform. On the material platform, we know Deinos Minyatadehe Komaram Jovanam Jarat. We're changing bodies from one lifetime to another. Even within this lifetime, it is from childhood to youth and then to old age. And so the relationships are temporary. But on the spiritual platform, like in this marriage ceremony, the relationships are eternal if the couple is focused on Krishna consciousness. That is, they are a couple now serving Krishna, and then in the spiritual world they will also be serving Krishna together. So this is real love. That is real eternal love. And so this Vivaha Yajna is the most romantic of all, the proper Vivaha Yajna is the most romantic of all the sacrifices, isn't it? You talk about real eternal love, not just temporary in this life, the next life, another wife or another husband, but this is eternal. So we should see like this. Now, in order to maintain this eternal dedication, it requires something called chastity. And chastity, let me put this in a more common word, can be stated as loyalty. Loyalty, duty-bound to each other, and regardless of the situation, happiness, distress, pleasure, or pain, one remains steady in the relationship. Steady, chaste, and devoted. And I'd like to tell a very interesting story from the Shastras that indicates this quality of loyalty or this quality of steadiness. This is the story, a famous story, of Savitri and Satyavan. So while I'm telling this story, I want the couple to think of themselves in terms of this same quality of loyalty that is being exhibited in the story. That means you stick to your duty, you stick to each other, regardless of the circumstance. All right, so here's the story. Once upon a time, there was a king. His name was Ashvapati. That means he had many horses. Those of you who know a little Sanskrit, Ashvapati. Just like you have Ashvamedha, that's a horse sacrifice. So Ashvapati means the lord of the horses. Very interesting. And actually, sometimes the wife calls the husband Pati or Pati Dev, right? That's the proper nomenclature. And the husband calls the wife Priya. In the Vedic system, usually the wife would not call the husband by his name. Like Vishal or Krishan, no. You'd say Pati or Pati Dev, right? This is the proper procedure. It keeps everything on the proper platform. Because when you start using too much the first name, guess what happens? You become complacent in the relationship. It's almost like the relationship between the guru and the disciple. Like I have some disciples like Gokul here. So he has to refer to me as Guru Maharaj. If he keeps saying, hey, Guru Krishna Goswami, then it destroys the relationship. The same thing between husband and wife. There is a certain formality that helps keep the sweetness of the relationship. So if the husband is always referring to the wife as Priya, it's very sweet. Isn't it? Or if he says, hey, Gopika. I mean, that's a name, spiritual name, but still, it's not as sweet as saying Priya, right? And also Pati Dev, right? Pati Dev and Priya, those should be nice names. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. Ashvapati, he was the Pati of Ashva, that means horses. So he actually wanted a son. So he went and prayed to Lord Brahma. We don't advocate praying to Lord Brahma. And I have very seldom seen a Lord Brahma deity in any of the temples here. Usually people are praying to Lord Shiva, and best they pray to Krishna, who is the Amhame Adirhi Devanam, the source of all the demigods. So he was praying to Lord Brahma, I want a son, I want a son, I want a son. And Lord Brahma said, we're going to give you a daughter instead. So the daughter's name was Savitri. And she was so beautiful that no one wanted to marry her. It's interesting, isn't it? Someone becomes so beautiful, then you're afraid of her. Why? Because she can control you by her beauty, or you're going to be afraid of other people kidnapping her. We don't have that problem nowadays. But in the previous yugas, before Kali Yuga, ladies used to be so beautiful that even the demigods would come down to see them. So, she was so beautiful, but she could not find a husband. The father looked all over for a husband he could not find. So the father, he said to her, you should look for a husband yourself. Not that she went on the internet or anything like that. But she went out with the protection of her father's soldiers. She went everywhere looking for the proper man who would marry her. So she went here, she went there. Finally, she found this nice gentleman. His name was Satyavan. And she went back to her father. to get permission from her father, because that's the proper Vedic procedure. You get permission from your father to get married. And she said, "My dear father, I found this nice boy." And as she said this to her father, there was another person present. And that person was Narada Muni. So she presented this to Narada Muni and her father. And Narada Muni says, "Not such a good idea." And the father said, "Why not?" And Narada Muni said, "Because he's a very nice boy, first class. But there's a problem. The problem is, he's supposed to die 1 year from now." And so Narada Muni said she should not get married to him. And the father said, "You should forget this boy." But she could not forget. She was so devoted and so chaste. She said, "I will marry him." And this Satyavan, he was living in the forest, even though he was a king's son. The reason he was living in the forest is that his father, Dhyumatsena, was blind. And because he was blind, he was kicked out of his kingdom by the prime minister. There was a coup. You all know about coups? Yeah. So there was a coup. He was kicked out of the kingdom, prime minister, because he was blind. The king could not see, so they were living in the forest. So Savitri, she went to serve her husband, Satyavan. They got married, had a nice vivaha yaga like this. I wasn't there for that one. But it's there in the Mahabharata, the stories from the Mahabharata. So they had a nice vivaha yaga, and she was staying in the forest. She was very austere, being devoted to her husband. Even though she was a king's daughter, princess, she was used to jewelry and all that other nice stuff. But she was living in the forest very austerely. That is another instance of chastity. That the husband and wife, they live in the same way. It is not that the wife should have all the jewelry and the husband has to work 5 jobs just to pay for the wife's jewelry. They should have similar opulence, similar psychology, similar modes of nature. That's the system of Vedic marriages. So there's compatibility and similar goal. Of course, that goal is Krishna consciousness. So she was living very austerely, and then it came time for him to die. It was 3 days before he was supposed to die, and she started fasting to protect her husband. So on the day that he was supposed to die, he was going out to chop firewood. And she said to her father-in-law, Dhyumatsena, that "I want to go with my husband today." So she went with her husband to the forest, and in the middle of his chopping firewood, he had a heart attack. And he died on the lap of his wife. And so she was crying. So what happened is to take the soul out of the body, this great personality came. Does anyone know his name? Yamaraj. Yamaraj came. Generally, he doesn't come himself, but because she was so chaste, he came personally. Normally, he sends the what? Yamadutas. His associates, his employees, the chokidars. So normally he sends them. However, in this case he came and she was able to see him. And she followed him as he took her husband's soul out of the body. The soul was very, very small. The soul is described in the Vedic literatures as what? 1/10,000th size, the tip of the hair. Right now our bodies are very big, but the soul is so energetic, has so much power, it's able to experience this whole body in spite of being very, very small. So he took the soul out of the body, but she began to follow. And she kept following, and Yamaraj said, "You should not follow, lady. This is not proper." She was so determined to get her husband back. This is chastity. So she said, "I guess what, Yamaraj? We've already taken 7 steps. Just like we're going to have this nice ceremony here in the marriage where you take 7 steps. Once you take 7 steps with someone, you're their eternal friend. So be careful who you take 7 steps with." That's the Vedic procedure. You take 7 steps with anyone, and you're bound to them eternally. So, she took 7 steps with Yamaraj, and she said, Yamaraj, you're stuck with me now. And he kept saying, go back. And they had some discussion, some philosophical discussion, and she was able to answer his questions and present nice questions to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, all right, I am very pleased with you. So ask for a benediction. Any benediction you want, except you can't have your husband back. So she said, first of all, I want my father-in-law, Dhumatsena, to get his eyes back so he can see again. Because he was blind, as I explained before, he was kicked out of the kingdom because he was blind. The prime minister kicked him out. So Yamaraj said, okay, he can have his sight again. So they kept walking, having more discussion. And then he said, all right, ask for another benediction. But you can't have your husband back. No way. His karma is finished. Showing you the power of chastity of a chaste lady. So she said, all right, I want my father-in-law to get his kingdom back. He shouldn't live in the forest anymore. And Yamaraj said, okay, that is very nice. And then they kept walking. Yamaraj said, all right, one more benediction. You have to go back. And she said, I'm not going back. I'm staying with my husband. Such dedication. Staying with one's husband or staying with one's wife, it's not only one-sided. The wife should be chaste to the husband should be chaste to the wife. This is loyalty. In Kali Yuga, you don't see your loyalty to this extent. In Kali Yuga, there are principles of religion, and only one is remaining, the principle of truthfulness, but that is very quickly diminishing. Truthfulness means not only to speak truthfully, but to act truthfully, to stick up or to stay with one's obligations or duties, regardless of the situation. Vyavasayatmika Budhir Akeha Kuru Nandana. Akeha, to be one-pointed, determined like that. So she was like that. So Yamaraj gave her the benediction. When she asked, she said, I want my father, that's Ashwapati. Remember Ashwapati? He wanted 100 sons. He wanted some sons. He only got a daughter. So she wanted to give her father sons. So she said, I want my father to have 100 sons. And Yamaraj said, yes, okay. That's another benediction. And so they kept walking, walking. Yamaraj got a little tired, having this lady walk after him for so long. Normally, people don't follow Yamaraj. He's not such an attractive personality. So finally, he said, all right, one more benediction. That's it. You're not getting any more. But you can't have your husband back. And she said, I want the benediction that I will have 100 sons by my husband. And Yamaraj, without thinking, because he was so frustrated with dealing with this lady, he said, okay, you can have 100 sons with your husband, but you can't have him back. And she said, basically, I tricked you. She said, how can I have 100 sons without having my husband back? You have to give him back. So Yamaraj threw his hands up. He said, you defeated me. And he was able to give back the husband. The soul was transported back to the body. And the husband came back to life. And Yamaraj gave the benediction that the husband and wife would live for 400 years and have a very nice, opulent, happy life. So the reason I'm telling that story is to illustrate the type of dedication that is required in household life. Not only household life, but any of the samskaras. And sometimes we have these initiations where people take vows. So the Vivaha Yajna is a vow to serve, to remain loyal to each other, and to help and assist each other in Krishna consciousness. And if you fulfill these vows, it is a promise. I mean, I can make a promise on behalf of Yamaraj, I guess, on behalf of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the disciplic succession, On behalf of Radha Golok Bihari, Lita Vishaka, Gornitai, Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. Remember Hanuman, he's so loyal too. I think often about Hanuman, how loyal and dedicated he is to completely give up everything to serve Lord Brahma. So I promise you that if you fulfill these promises, these vows that you are taking today, that you will surely attain eternal blissful life, and your love and association and your service will go on forever and ever and ever. So thank you very much, and we'll continue with the marriage, Vivaha Yajna. Gokul, Bandhu will do it. What? I'm going to do the mantras? Okay. So I'm going to do the mantras, and he'll do the... You should have a seat or something. You should have a cushion you sit on. The Ritvik, he's called the Ritvik. Ritvik means the officiating priest. I'm the actual priest. He's a Ritvik Acharya. So he has to have a seat. Without a seat, you can't do a havan. Okay, so the next part of the ceremony is called the Sampradhanam, which means giving away the bride. So usually the father gives away the bride, and the groom is facing east. The father of the bride should face north or west, and the ladies can make auspicious sounds. In Bengal, they have this way of making auspicious sounds. I'm not going to ask you all to be Bengalis. That would be inappropriate. But it's sort of like that. You know about that, Gopika. But no. Actually, the auspicious sound we make everywhere else is called Hare Krishna. So everyone, whenever there's some lull or silence in the performance, then we ask you to at least chant Hare Krishna softly to make the atmosphere auspicious. Because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is non-different from Krishna, Purna Shura Nitya Mukto, Bina Swam Nama Namino. And by chanting it, you're direct.